This is the West Concord Sermon Podcast. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you receive a blessing from today's message.
Glad to see everybody today. If you're looking in online, this is not the Beachcomber Lounge at Nag's Head. We are doing Vacation Bible School, and let me say this about West Concord Baptist Church. When we do Vacation Bible School, we do it right. We go the extra mile because we love our kids, we love our students, our community. And I will say this to the people that are assembled today and those of you watching online. If you haven't got anywhere else to go and you're in this area tonight, this week, this is the place to be. So we're excited about Vacation Bible School here at West Concord. But now we're going to dig into God's Word as we continue our messages on the Sermon on the Mount. And as we said earlier, these messages are Christ's way of making a blueprint for what discipleship is. What is discipleship? We hear about it, we read about it, people are talking about it, but more often than not, we really don't know. We really don't zero in on what God wants us to know as disciples. A disciple, again, is somebody who is a learner. Somebody who not only is a learner, but follows the one that's doing the discipling. And for believers, we enter into apprenticeship as disciples with the Lord, doing His work. As a matter of fact, Vacation Bible School this week in our church and in other churches is discipleship. Bringing the gospel, challenging people about Christ. Now, we've covered much about discipleship already. We've looked at the disciples' character. We've seen the disciples' influence, the righteousness of the disciple based upon the Word of God and obedience to it. We've been looking at the disciples' humility, which is what we're going to continue to look at today. As we've gotten into Matthew chapter 6, we've seen God, as we practice righteousness as a disciple, it's easy to get full of ourselves when we're doing well. But the reality is, it's not about us. It's about Him. So yes, He wants us to practice righteousness, but He wants us to do it in a way that is humble. We'll talk about that in just a moment. In a way that reflects upon Him. He says, "Let your light so shine before men that you may glorify your Father who is in heaven." It's not about my glory. It's not about your glory. It's about His glory. Because after all, that's why we're here. To bring the gospel to people, to shine the light of truth, to bring them to Christ so that they might enjoy the salvation that we enjoy. It's what discipleship is all about. Drawing people to Christ. So we're going to talk again about humility. We've looked at humility in giving, almsgiving, and financially giving. Giving of our time, our talents, our treasures. We should do that in such a way that it doesn't draw attention to our gifts or to us. We should do that in such a way that God alone is glorified and the ministry is benefited. Also through prayer. Prayer is not something we perform. Prayer is that intimate engagement with God. As we gather unto Him on our own, first in private, and then as we cultivate a regular, consistent, powerful prayer life, it is then that we come and are able to pray publicly when called upon. And as we look at the last aspect of humility this morning, He is going to talk about one of the next things that a Jewish believer would have done at that time, and that would be fasting. Going without primarily food, or going without the pleasures of the world for a season in order to focus upon God. We're not going to do a message on fasting primarily today. I've left you in your bulletin the reasons why the Jews fasted and good reasons to fast. There's a list there. If you don't get a bulletin, get one before you leave and look that up. Interestingly enough, in the New Testament, the church is never commanded to fast. But fasting is something they did and something that Jesus expects us to do, as we'll see. The Jews fasted, and primarily they had one time a year to fast that was commanded, and that was on the Jewish feast day. one of several. But as they moved through, they would fast to seek God's face. They would fast in order to turn from sin. They would fast in order to glorify God and connect with Him. When dealing with issues in their heart and life, problems and trials, they sometimes would go without food for a while to focus on Almighty God. Now, oftentimes, fasting is difficult for people who have health problems. If you're a diabetic or you have some other issue, it may not be healthy for you to go without food for certain times. I would encourage you to talk to your doctor about that. But fasting from food is not the only way to fast. You can fast from other kinds of pleasures in a marriage. You can fast from sexual activity for a while. You can fast from watching television. You can fast from social media. Fast from your device. Maybe fast from something else. You take time and step away and give honor to God. One of the things that goes on today is fasting, and we should be involved in that. Yes, while it is not commanded, it is expected. More often than not, when you get in a group of people and people start talking about the things that they're doing for the Lord, you can oftentimes take a group, just like this group today. Any group, it could be a church group, it could be a family group, it could be a group of students at school. It could be a birthday party or any kind of dinner party or any kind of gathering at your job. There are usually three kinds of people at those gatherings. Those kinds of people are first, those that want to feel good. Even in our gathering today, there are those that want to feel good. Then there are those who want to look good. There are those who want to look good. Everything's cool. I'm good. Everything's good. I want to look good. I want to look like I'm walking with the Lord. And then there are those that want to be good. Those that are focused on walking with the Lord and living lives of righteous obedience to His word. So I want to ask you this morning, as you're watching online or as you're with us this morning, which group do you fall into? Maybe you don't even give it any thought. Are you somebody that's just more interested in feeling good? We do things because we want to feel good about it. You know, some people, you see some of the empty chairs, these people don't feel good about going to church. Feels better not to go. And let's face it, sometimes worshiping attendance wherever is a bit inconvenient. Doesn't feel good. You know, along about January in the middle, and it's cold and it's rainy, it doesn't feel good to get out of your warm bed and get in your car and drive to a building and gather with people. That doesn't feel good. And I'll admit that. I'm a pastor and that doesn't feel good. We oftentimes do things because we want to feel good. Sometimes we get caught up in habitual sin because it feels good. Book of Hebrews does say there's pleasure in sin for a season. Unfortunately, that season ends and the party's over. There are others who want to look good. That's kind of what we're going to focus on this morning. The difference between those two groups or people in the crowd, those who want to look good and those who should want to be good. I mean, we're living in the virtue signaling culture, social media. And we love to tell people what we're doing for Jesus. We love to put the pictures out there, and we love to talk about this. I had a conversation not too long ago with somebody. I said, how was your Saturday? Oh, I spent 6 hours with Jesus today. Well, glory to God. I hope that's true. But do you need to broadcast that? Because here's the thing. If that is actually true and you're doing it, and I hope they were telling the truth. I don't knock them. But your life ought to reflect that. In other words, we walk around trying to look good, making sure everybody, yeah, I'm good, I'm this, I'm virtue signaling my life. And that's what Jesus is dealing with in these three vignettes, speaking of giving, prayer, and fasting. The ideal is to be in that third group, those who want to be good. Because when you're focused on wanting to be good or walk righteously before God according to His word, you're not concerned about feeling good. You really don't care what other people think of you as far as looking good. You know, I think of missionaries, men and women who go out into the field. Oftentimes, feeling good is not their goal because missionary work is difficult work. As far as looking good, if you're plugged in serving the Lord, you couldn't care less what people think you look like or don't look like. One of the things I see in our culture today, especially in our Christian culture, is that virtue signaling. You know, Lent was during the spring. The season of Lent, where you give up something for 40 days prior to celebrating Easter. Now, again, that came up in the early Middle Ages through the Roman Catholic Church. And overall, I don't necessarily have a problem with Lent. If that's something you want to do, by all means, knock yourself out. Nothing wrong with it. That's probably a pretty good thing for you if you want to do that. However, if you're out there telling other people about it and putting on, you know, maybe ashes on your forehead for Ash Wednesday, and you're demonstrating that, and I get a kick out of this because during this time, there is invariably on Facebook an argument over Lent. Somebody's practicing Lent and they're letting people know about it, and then all the social media critics out there, and they're out there, the trolls we like to call them, then criticize this person. Well, that's not biblical. That's, you're doing, and all of a sudden, there's a three-page long scroll of all the arguments, criticisms, and hurt feelings on social media. Here's the issue. If you're arguing about it on social media, you're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong. Let's dive into Scripture in Matthew chapter 6. Jumping down in verse 16 as we pick it up in Matthew 6 today. So there are those that want to feel good, there's that want to look good, which is kind of what we're looking at this morning. And by the way, if you're trying to look good and you get the applause of people, then probably you feel good about it, whether it's right or wrong. But we need to be good. So let's look at those who are seeking to look good. Notice Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, he's already talked about giving. He's already talked, which he said, do that in private. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. He talked about prayer, not out prattling memorized prayers in public, but taking that time privately to spend time talking and communicating with God, so that when you are called upon to pray publicly, you're not fearful, but you're solid with God. You're not praying so that others can hear you, others can judge you. You're praying so that God will hear you. He says in verse 16 of chapter 6, moreover, when you fast. Now again, nowhere in the New Testament is a command to fast, but Jesus expected his followers, his disciples, to fast at some time in some way. And he doesn't give much instruction on when to do it, how to do it. He leaves that up to you and I as we seek his face in times of crisis, in times of decision, in times of guilt over sin, when we can take time, or just in times of wanting to get to know him and let him imbue us with his presence, that we take time to fast and to step away from the pleasures of the world, primarily if you're physically able, from food for a season. And by the way, that list of fasting opportunities that I put in your bulletin, there is a website there. You can get more instruction, good instruction on the subject. And maybe down the road we'll do some messages concerning fasting. But this is more about getting away from humility. He says, moreover, when you fast, not if you fast, when you fast. And notice this, do not be like the hypocrites. Remember what that word hypocrite means? It literally in the Greek means actor. Somebody who puts on a false face, a mask. Somebody who plays a part that's a fantasy, it's not real. That's what hypocrisy is. He said, don't be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. In Jesus' day, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they fasted generally on Mondays and Thursdays. Yes, they fasted at the appointed time of the year because they were Jewish and they were following God's law, but they also chose to fast every week, Monday and Thursday. Which again, on the face of it, shouldn't be a problem. If that's what they chose to do, to honor God, to glorify God, to seek God, that's great. The problem was they were letting the entire city know about it. They would pour ashes on their head. They would wear rags at times, sackcloth. And they would allow their faces to be unwashed and they would be unkempt. Because they wanted the people around them to know that, yes, I'm fasting because I'm more spiritual than you are. In other words, they belonged to that crowd that wanted to look good. They wanted to look good. And listen, this isn't something that just happened then, and this isn't something that's new now. Social media is a relatively new thing. It's only been around about 25 years or so. But I remember when I was coming up in church, when I was younger in Bible college and even in, you know, we would do social media and we would do virtue signaling another way. Some people would walk into church with a gigantic big black King James Bible. Others would dress to the nines like we walked off of a Brooks Brothers catalog. And we would come in with our children all in their fluff and stuff. And we would shout amen and glory to God. And we would do all kinds of things. And oftentimes for many people, not all the people, but for many people, that was just the churchy thing you did. And we got involved in churchianity rather than Christianity. And we began to speak a new lingo, a Christianese, that anybody outside of the walls would not know what we're talking about. And we would virtue signal. And my daddy was a deacon. My grandfather was a pastor. My parents built this church. And we would get all caught up in that stuff. So virtue signaling, listen, it's not new. It was even in Jesus' day. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, when they would traipse through Jerusalem, you could tell on the days, Monday and Thursdays, when they were fasting, because they would literally just be a wreck, because they wanted you to see that they were holy and that they were doing what God expected them to do. Jesus said, don't be like them. Not if you fast, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites. What they would do is they would put forth a deceitful appearance. A deceitful appearance because literally when they were fasting, they weren't feeling how they looked. In other words, they looked drawn and weak. They might not tidy themselves up. They might not do all their things that they would do. Their hair would be disheveled. The men, their beard would be unruly. The clothes would be ragged. They would have ashes all over their head. They hadn't bathed. And you would know he's godly. And this would be a regular occurrence. Jesus said, look, that's deceitful. Fasting one day doesn't turn you into a concentration camp survivor. But that's what they prevailed. That's what they performed. He said, don't be like the hypocrites. That's a deceitful appearance. Why did they do it? Well, he says, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Most assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Why did they do it? Well, because again, they wanted to look good. They longed for people to say, look how spiritual he is. Wow, man, that's amazing. Look how dedicated. Look how surrendered. Man, that's the kind of believer I want to be. Look how wonderful they are. They're committed to God. That's what they wanted to portray, and that's what they heard. And everybody said, oh, these were the holy men, the holy people of their day. When the reality was nothing near that. You know, oftentimes we tend to do that, and sometimes we don't think about it, sometimes we do. I get a kick out of Christian t-shirts and jewelry. You know, we wear our church t-shirts, we wear our jewelry, our crosses and everything else. It amazes me how oftentimes we wear Christian things and maybe our lives, including mine and yours, are not where they should be reflective of that. I told you the story once of a lady in our church when we started buying West Concord t-shirts. I love our church paraphernalia, West Concord t-shirts. And she was at one of the malls in Charlotte with her little boys. And she was wearing West Concord Baptist Church, come grow with us, or whatever our word was then. And they went into, I think it was Belk's, and they were shopping and looking. She had her little two boys, maybe 4, 5, 6 years old. And they did their shopping and they did their looking, and all of a sudden they walked out in the mall and woo, 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 they heard the alarm go off. Because evidently one of her little kids decided he was going to have something to take with him. Because little kids are wont to do that. When I had Andy and Liddy, Liddy never did anything like this, but Andy, he'd pick up something and say, cool, I like this, and he'd walk around with it. And if we weren't paying any attention, it might have gotten home. Well, it was a busy day. The mall was crowded. It was Christmas time. She had them, and all of a sudden, they walked out, and the shoplifting alarm went off. And she looked down. Her little boy was carrying, I forget what he had, but she had a West Concord Baptist Church t-shirt on. She said, that was more embarrassing than they think. You know, that was actually, but she said, I said, well, then don't wear it out anymore. I like to tease our senior adults when they go on their trips. They got another one coming up here pretty soon. I tell them, behave yourself, because we've got West Concord Baptist Church plastered all over that bus. Don't you all do anything unruly. You think, oh, they're senior adults. They never do. Yeah. You had never been out with our senior adults. You think the teenagers are rowdy. You got to watch these people. I tell them, if you get pulled over, tell them you're from Rogers Park Baptist Church. But it can't. Now they got it plastered on the bus. Or we might, you know, we go to a restaurant. We want to leave a gospel tract for our wait staff, our server. And then all of a sudden you're saying, oh, I'll leave a tip and put it in a gospel tract, and you low tip them. Listen, if you're going to leave a gospel tract, leave a good tip. Or if you go out dressed with Christian paraphernalia on, don't give the waiter or the waitress a hard time. Behave yourself as one of God's people. But oh, we'll wear the stuff, and we'll put the little fish on the back of our car. That's another one that was a big thing. We'll put the fish on the back of the car, and then we'll cut off somebody in traffic. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Listen, I'll tell you, and I'm your pastor, if you're going to go out and act like that, don't wear church stuff. Don't wear cross earrings. Don't wear cross necklace. Because oftentimes we want to promote image-wise that we're a Christian, but sadly, sometimes the reality doesn't match that in our comportment and our behavior. And this was what was going on with these religious leaders of Jesus' day. Oh, they would dress down. They would look horrible. Oh, we're fasting. Look at us. And people would say, yeah, man, that's great. That's amazing. You know what? That's all the reward they're going to get from that. Because in reality, they weren't seeking God in their fasting. They were seeking human approval. They were seeking the applause of men and women. And they probably got that, and it probably made them feel good. So they kind of fell in that other crowd. But you know what? That's it. There would be no other reward. There would be no other blessing. It was a consolation prize. We talked about it before. Wah, wah, wah. And that was it. And we do that when we put stuff out on Facebook. Look how spiritual I am. Look how committed to Christ I am. Look how surrendered I am. Virtue signaling. Jesus said, do not be like the hypocrites who are seeking to look good. Here's the thing. As long as you're walking with Christ and honoring Him, it doesn't matter what people think of you. I know my own wife, back in the day when we used to wear suits and ties to church and I would wear a coat and tie in the pulpit, my wife, we'd be going through belts or somewhere, my wife liked loud ties. She liked the loudest, the better. The louder, the better. She picked out ties that looked so loud and colorful, my brother back in his hippie days would have hung it on his wall in a black light. Oh, this is pretty. You should wear that. I said, if I wear that tie, then the only thing these people in the congregation are going to remember is, you see that ugly tie? Good night. I know, because we've had guest speakers come in here. We've had interim pastors in here. And all the talk was about what they were wearing. We try too hard to look good. We put forth a deceitful appearance. And we seek the delightful applause of humanity. But in serving the Lord and walking with Him, whether it's giving, praying, or fasting, we should do it with humility. Not caring whether it feels good, whether we look good. We just need to concentrate on being good for the glory of God. As far as humility is concerned, Martin Luther said this, the great reformer. He said, true humility does not know that it is humble. See, these Pharisees were trying to look humble. Trying to look humble, self-deprecating. Can you teach that Sunday school class? Oh, Pastor, I don't know anything. I'm not smart. Would you please help us in our worship team? Oh, I can't sing. Nobody wants to hear me. False humility. Real humility, according to Martin Luther, he said, real humility doesn't know that it's humble. He said it would be proud from the contemplation of so... Let me read it again. True humility does not know that it is humble. If it did, it would be proud from the contemplation of so fine a virtue. False humility breeds pride. C.S. Lewis went on to say this about humility. He said, as long as you are proud, you cannot know God. Why? Well, let's talk about pride. That's the root of sin. Pride can keep people out of heaven because they're full of themselves. I'm working hard. I'm religious. I'm good. I don't need a savior. In order to be saved, you've got to come to the place where you're humbled in your sin. That nothing you can do would be good enough. And you need to fall on Christ in faith. As long as you are proud, you cannot know God. A proud man is always looking down on things and people. And of course, as long as you are looking down, you cannot see something that is above you. Paul said, let your eyes be fixed upon the things above, not on things on the earth. It shouldn't matter what people think of us. It shouldn't matter whether we feel good or not, whether we look good or not, as long as we are pleasing and honoring Almighty God. These are the people who are seeking to look good. And it's easy, too, because then you don't have to walk with the Lord as long as people think you are. You don't have to seek to please God and put in the spiritual discipline to bring glory to God, to honor Him with your life, to surrender those things that are hindering you, as long as other people think you are. And that's oftentimes what goes on in a church. People that want to feel good, people that want to look good, people that are trying to be good. Which group do you fall into? Maybe at various times we all move from one to the other. So Jesus said, don't be like the hypocrites. Don't disfigure yourself or let people know. If you're fasting, the only person that should know is God and maybe your immediate family, unless the church, and we have in the past and we will again call for a church-wide fast. But even then, that's among our body. So Jesus offers the alternative, as he's done throughout this message. Instead of seeking to look good, we need to seek to be good. And when I say seek to be good, we speak of being righteous, walking in obedience to God's righteous word, living righteously or rightly. And that is only to be judged by God, and the standard is His word. For instance, if you miss church or if you're late, don't come to me or Aaron or Mike and say, I'm so sorry, I should have, you don't have to apologize to us. I had a friend in Bible college, but at our church in Tampa. I was the Mike Brooks, I was the worship leader. And I had a choir, and I remember a man, he didn't show up Sunday. And I thought maybe he was sick, or maybe he had to work. And Wednesday came along for choir rehearsal, and he walked in and he had his head down. And he said, Mike, I'm sorry, I didn't come to church Sunday. I said, are you all right? Is everything okay? He said, I stayed home and watched a race. And I looked at him and I said, well, I said, I appreciate you for apologizing to me. I was counting on you. But I'm not the one you need to worry about. If you surrendered your life to do ministry in this place, you need to speak to God about that. Because at the end of the day, my disappointment of you not being here, notwithstanding, that's what counts. Because here's the reality, folks. One day me, you, everyone who calls on the name of Christ, one day we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we will give an account for how we spent our lives as believers. At the end of the day, if I'm walking with Christ and seeking to please Him, whether you like me or not, accept me or not, should not matter to me. And I'll tell you, that keeps me sane in this position. Because there are many times, Aaron can speak to this, Mike, he's been leading for a few years, he can understand this. There are sometimes people just don't like us. Even when we're trying to make good decisions and right decisions for God, we just step on somebody's toes. Usually it's because they stuck them out there to be stepped on. Because when you lead, whether you teach Sunday school, you're a deacon, you work in the senior adults, you work in the children's ministry, whatever you do, you're going to alienate somebody when you take a stand. And there are going to be people that just don't like you, even though you're doing everything you can to honor and glorify Christ. As a matter of fact, the world will really not like you. What did Jesus say in John 15? He told his disciples, the world is going to hate you because it hated me first. Too many Christians try to be friends with the world and try to say, look to the world and say, look at me, I'm just a regular, normal person like you are. Not if you're a believer, you're not. If you're a believer in Christ, you're different, you're unique. Peter tells us that you're a holy nation, a royal priesthood. You're a child of God. That doesn't mean you're better than the world by far, no. But it does mean you're unique and different. And when you stand, love, even lovingly and graciously, for things of Christ, people aren't going to like you. And when you do ministry and you're serving Christ in the church, church people, many of them, will not like you. And you've got to get out of the crowd that's trying to feel good, because sometimes it doesn't feel good. Sometimes, and it doesn't look good to some people. But you need to stand by and love the Lord and love them and make sure you're not doing anything that's of the flesh. Make sure you're walking with the Lord. Make sure you're doing good. That's what Jesus said, seek to be good. So look what he says. Don't be like the hypocrites. They have their reward. Verse 17, but when you fast, again, not if, but when, he expects it. When you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. In biblical days, oftentimes the hair, you know, you didn't go to the barber or the beauty salon to get coiffed, okay? And so when you got up, many of y'all this morning, you did your hair. I'm looking at some of y'all, you know, I'm not going to say. Some of y'all, you know, waxed, I don't know what you do. But anyway, you did your hair, you look good. Hairspray, product, that's the new, I've got product in my hair. They had product in their hair too, it's called olive oil. Back in the day, they would take oil, mostly olive oil, and they would fragrance it, depending on their status. And men and women would take that oil, and they would literally use it like, how many of y'all remember Brill cream? Okay. And that kind of little dab will do you. And they would get up in the morning, and they would wash, and they would do their hair and fix it. You know, you would basically look decent, like you would get up every morning and do. He says, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you do not appear to men to be fasting. In other words, you need to have not a deceitful appearance, but a distracting appearance. You say, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Your appearance needs to distract people from thinking of just you. That's why I never wore those ties that my wife picked out. I made it a point to, and when I did wear ties, to buy the blandest tie I could find. Because I did not want the congregation thinking after I preached, look at that tie. That's why choirs in the day wore choir robes, not just because it was an ecclesiastical churchy thing, but because people would dress differently in the choir and you didn't want somebody in the congregation to go, look what she's wearing. Did she not look in the mirror before? You know, because that's how people are. And it's the thing, we need to make sure that our appearance is literally distracting people from us. And distracting them toward God. In other words, how we dress, and there's nothing wrong with being stylish. There's nothing wrong with dressing nice. Don't get me wrong. I understand that. And it goes back to the whole modest, immodest thing. We think of modesty or immodesty as somebody showing skin. Ladies especially. And that's unfortunate because that's rather sexist. Because modesty and immodesty is not just about ladies. It's about anybody who either they dress or not dress. Whatever says, look at me, is immodest. It's immodest. People should remember the Christ in us, not just us. So dress and comport. If you're fasting, if you do Lent, don't broadcast it on social media. Don't put ashes on your forehead. It should be something between you and God. You need to have a distracting appearance, an appearance that distracts people from you and focuses on Christ or not thinking of you at all. Look what he said. Anoint your face, head, wash your face so that you do not appear to men to be fasting. It's nothing that you and I should be communicating to the group at large, but to your Father who is in the secret place. After all, the reason for fasting is seeking God in a deeper, richer way. That's what fasting is. Fasting, whether it's from food primarily or some other worldly pleasure that you set aside, it should be done so that you can focus on God, seeking His face, filling your heart with His Word, allowing His Spirit to, to take control in your spirit that's not distracted with the world. In other words, if you're doing it right, if it's a personal thing, now I realize churches, and we have done it, we'll do it again, a community fast, but even then, it should be something within this community, not that's something we broadcast to the outside community. If we're doing it right, nobody should know we're doing it outside of your own family or yourself. He said, basically do that to your heavenly Father who is in a secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. How does he reward us openly? As we seek his face, as he begins to move in our lives and we yield to him, God then begins to work in our lives. And hopefully, that greater community will begin to see God's presence in your life and my life. More so than if we just wear a t-shirt or earrings or car tchotchkes. In other words, we should live in such a way as we fast and as we seek his face that people see God in how you treat them with love and grace. People see God in your devotion, not broadcasted, but lived in your ministry to your family. People see God when you interact with them and you treat them with graciousness and kindness and grace. Even people that may not even like you as a Christian, may not like Christianity, if they see God and say, you know what, I'm not a big fan of Christianity, but boy, what does he have? What does she have? God, that's how he rewards us openly. And yes, one day there will be reward in heaven. So he tells us that rather than seeking human approval, we need to seek divine approval. In other words, if you're fasting and nobody but you knows about it, that's okay. Because the God who sees you in secret will reward you openly. And that's way better than human applause and human favor. Because humans are fickle. They think you're great one minute, and then they'll turn on you the next minute. But God, when you're faithfully walking with him, he'll take care of you. He'll bless you. Seek to be good. Stop seeking to look good. David Mathis, writing for desiringgod.org, said this. He says, we fast in this life because we believe in the life to come. Aaron this morning led us in reading the passage from Deuteronomy. In other words, we don't live by bread, we live by the word of God. Jesus quoted this passage when he was being tempted by the devil. During the 40 days, Jesus was fasting. The devil came to him and said, look, if you're God, if you're all that, turn those stones into bread. Jesus said the only bread he needed was the word of God. We fast in this life because we believe in the life to come. We don't have to get it all here and now. Because after all, this life, I mean, if God blesses you to live 70, 80, 90 years or more, that isn't even a drop in the bucket compared to eternity. The eternity that the Bible says we will be joint heirs with Jesus Christ. The Bible that says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see God. Blessed are the humble, for they shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. And we get caught up in what people think of us. We don't have to get it all here and now because we have promises that we will have it all in the coming age. We fast from what we can see and taste because we have tasted and seen the goodness of the invisible and infinite God and are desperately hungry for more of him. Fasting is a unique individual thing. We step away from trying to taste the world and the things that we see that attract us. And we get a taste of God. And we begin to see God. And that should be our motivation. That should be our reason for living as believers, as disciples. And when God gets a hold of us like that, oh my goodness, what he can do. if you'll let him. I leave you with one last passage. It's in James chapter 4. And here's the bottom line. Whether it's giving, praying, or fasting, as you're a disciple walking with Christ, trying to walk with Christ, the Holy Spirit through James tells us to humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Standing together as we pray, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. At the end of the day, we will stand before Christ if we know Him as our Savior. If you don't know Him as your Savior, remember the quote from Martin Luther who said, C.S. Lewis, the proud will not know God. If you're trusting in your own religion, your own efforts, your own goodness, your own merit, that pride will keep you from entering into a relationship with Christ. None of us are good enough. None of us can do enough. We need to come to Him, admitting our sin, confessing our sin, humbling ourselves before Him, admitting, I cannot save myself. I cannot be good enough. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. And we come to Him and admit our sin and we confess it and we say, God, I have sinned, or however you want to word it. And I can't save myself, but I'm the best I can, I'm trusting Christ as my Savior. Only He is the Savior. Only He can save me. And I'm casting my full faith and confidence in Him. I believe He was buried. He was crucified for my sin, was buried, and 3 days later rose again from the dead. And I'm trusting in Him and only Him to save me. If you've never trusted Christ, never placed your faith in Him, do that. Set aside your pride and humbly go before Him and accept His free gift of salvation. Now, if you're here and you know Christ, are you being a disciple? Are you walking with Him? Are you learning from Him, following Him? Have you plugged in to His work as an apprentice with Him? And let me ask you this, which group do you fall in? Are you just trying to feel good? You come to church to feel good? You do X, Y, and Z to feel good? Problem with that is it doesn't last, does it? Things get old. Things get tired. How about, are you trying to look good? Do you do things so that you might be seen? Do you serve to be seen? Do you give to be seen? So that people say, what a spiritual giant, what a wonderful man, wonderful woman. When you really, you and I, should really be seeking to be good. Whether it feels good or whether we look good or not, seeking to be good and humbly casting our faith on Christ to take care of us, to bless us, and to reward us. He promised He would. And when we get to that place where we're seeking to walk with Him in righteousness, it is then that Christ will begin to use your life to impact others, to your family first, your co-workers, your fellow students, your community, this church. Yeah, sometimes it doesn't feel good. And sometimes people aren't going to like you and it's not going to look good. But you surrender and walk with Him. And seek to be good. And the God that sees you in secret will reward you openly with a life that is impactful for eternity. And yes, you will be rewarded when you stand before Him one day at the judgment seat. Where are you in that grouping? What is your life? Take a moment as we just take a quiet second to just be quiet, like we do it at reflection time. I want to take just a moment for us to reflect. Ask yourself in your heart and your mind, where am I at and where do I need to be? We sang, I surrender all earlier. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to surrender your life as a follower of Christ once and for all? Let's take a quiet moment. You don't have to come forward, just right where you are. Let's take a quiet moment. Father, as we've gathered in this place this morning, we first and foremost thank You for the privilege of worship. Thank you that we have a Savior to worship. A Savior who came to this earth and lived for us, died for us, rose again and lives for us and with us today. And Father, if we have nothing else, we're grateful for that. Father, I pray for every person hearing my voice, whether online or here in this building, I pray that they know Jesus as their Savior. And if they don't, they would abandon their hope to save themselves and cast their full faith and confidence in Christ, who died for them, was buried, and rose again, and trust Him as Savior. Then He will save them. But I pray for the saved who are gathered, Father, that we would walk with Him as disciples, as learners, followers, as those people who share the work, are yoked together with Christ. Father, I pray that we would all fall into the category of not just feeling good and looking good, but Father, being good for Your glory. Being obedient to the righteous commands of Your word. Seeking to live a Christ-like life. To love others, to love You, and to gently but courageously bring the message of the gospel. Father, as we move into Vacation Bible School this week, Father, I pray in Jesus' name that while we try to do things right and we do things well and we get excited, at the end of the day, I pray that every soul that comes through will remember Jesus more than us. I thank You for those who work hard. I thank You for those who paint and build and teach, feed, and care for. Father, at the end of the day, we're doing it so that people might find Jesus. And Father, may we celebrate that. We surrender ourselves as a church to You this morning. May You glorify Yourself and only You. And we'll give You praise. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
For additional sermon resources and to find out who we are, visit us online at westconcordchurch.com. Thanks for listening.